Welcome to the Balestrieri Real Estate Hour, where it's all about real estate. Brought to you by the recognized professionals at Balestrieri Realty, proudly serving you and your neighbors in South Florida since 1964. During the show, we invite you to call in with your questions or comments at 1-877-850-8585. And now, here are your hosts, Joe and Jim Balestrieri.
Jim, how are you today?
Good morning, Joe. Got a very exciting show this morning for our listeners.
Sure do. We've got, Jeb Bush couldn't join us, so we got the best next guy. And speaking of the next guy, he is actually running for governor. And here with us today we have, why don't you introduce him, Jim?
The chief financial officer of the state of Florida and our insurance commissioner, Mr. Tom Gallagher. And I think Tom is on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I am on the phone with you.
Can you give us an update, sort of a state of the state, Mr. Gallagher, as to what's happening here in Florida, and particularly in South Florida, both on the East Coast and the West Coast, for our listeners this morning?
Well, we certainly had a visitor named Wilma, and although it was not as catastrophic as Hurricane Andrew was, it certainly was not as concentrated as Hurricane Andrew was.
That's for sure. I was down in Homestead and certainly saw a lot of the activity that hurricane did down there. It was much more, of course, it was maybe widespread, but a lot of it was natural landscape, so it didn't affect the people, per se.
Right. Well, it was, you know, actually, there's a lot more people there now than there was when Hurricane Andrew hit.
You bet.
Most of those fields have all been planted with homes.
Yes, they have.
Here's a storm that most people thought was going to be most devastating on the West Coast, Naples South, and it did cause damage over there, no doubt about it. But it seemed to me, just having gone over both Southwest Florida and Southeast Florida, that it seems like it picked up a little steam over the Everglades and brought more damage to the East Coast than the West Coast, which sort of surprised everybody, including me.
Right.
And so we ended up with damage north of Palm Beach all the way down to Key West. Of course, Hurricane Andrew was concentrated in Homestead.
Right.
So it did cause quite a bit of damage, you know, if you look at, there was damage in Coconut Grove and South Dade, you know, not just Homestead, but certainly the most devastating damage was in Homestead.
Tom, it seemed to me that a lot of the forecasters gave us a little bit of a, I know they don't do it deliberately, a lot of times they hype it up too much, and this time said, oh, you know, it's going to downgrade, no problem. And I think people are a little bit lackadaisical. Would you agree with that idea?
Well, yes, I would. And because I've had so many people tell me they just didn't have any idea it was going to be as bad as it was. And I can just tell you that even if it's a one and you're in a home, it's pretty scary.
Yep.
And when you get up to a three or four, it's very scary. That wind howls like a freight train, and you're not sure whether the trees or your roof or anything else is going to stay on your house. And so it's you really want to make sure you're in a good structure when one of these hurricanes comes. You just never know.
Tom, you know, I've been living here since 19. My brother and I have both been here since 1963. Seen a lot of hurricanes or close near calls and so forth. My current home, I have impact glass. I remember as a kid hearing some of these sounds and hiding behind the shutters and so forth. So it's certainly a lot of uncertainty. Now with the impact glass, you can see everything howling past the house. It's a different image and not less frightening, but you can see the intensity of the storm, and that's the thing. As opposed to with your shutters, you don't see anything; you just hear it. So it's quite an eye opener to see things going past you.
What can we do now in the aftermath of the storm, as it relates directly to the insurance and the claims here of residents here in South Florida? Rate hikes. We're already talking about rate hikes. As a realtor professional, we've been concerned about affordability of insurance, availability of insurance. Is Citizens sound? Are they well funded? These are the concerns that we have to make sure that our economy and our real estate market stays vibrant here in Florida and across Florida. These are real concerns.
They are very real and valid concerns. Let me go through some of the things that I see as problems. We're facing, in insurance, this, after Wilma, very similar things that we faced after Hurricane Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the specifics of the numbers of policies that could be non-renewed or, how big the problem is yet, because that's gonna unfold as the reinsurance market, is tapped for next year's coverage, because the annual deal that happens, and I'll talk about that in a second, but, let me just talk about Andrew real quick. We were notified back when I was the insurance commissioner, and I'm not anymore, Kevin McCarty is, but when I was the insurance commissioner during Hurricane Andrew, we were notified by insurance companies that they were going to non-renew, if you totaled the different companies, about 1.5 million policyholders.
Okay.
We're going to be non-renewed. At that time, there was nobody writing new business. And there was no Citizens Property Insurance. There was no Residential Property JUA. There was no place where they could buy insurance.
Right. They just sent me a letter saying you're no longer insured.
We had a crisis back then.
Yep.
We worked through it. The rates have climbed, probably tripled since then.
Yep.
And most insurers will tell you they're not getting enough now.
Right.
That's for, I don't agree with that, but that's what they say. So where are we today? Just the same thing happened after Andrew. The reinsurance market, the worldwide reinsurance market, is right now sort of in a flux. Some of those reinsurance writers are talking about a 25 to 35% increase and a 20 to 25% decrease in availability.
Hmm.
So you're going to have a higher price and less available. Well, the less available is a real problem, because we make the insurance companies that write business in Florida buy reinsurance so that we know they'll have the money available to pay the claims.
I see.
Or they can't sell that many policies. They either sell less policies or buy reinsurance.
Okay.
So that means the capacity for the insurance companies to write business drops. Well, when that happens, they do non-renewals. And we've already known before Wilma that, for example, Allstate let the state know that they're going to drop and non-renew 95,000 policies.
Is that it?
Before Wilma.
Before Wilma.
Before Wilma. Now, I don't know what happens after Wilma. They haven't said anything to us yet, but I'm certainly concerned.
Tom, so, it seems to me these guys, they're supposed to have some line on what goes on with these with the actuary tables and so forth. And, did we never have a hurricane? I mean, I know I've been here and all these years, like I said, but it seems crazy. Like, oh, well, we underestimated what it's going to take, so we're going to double and triple your rates. Are they still that stupid that they're underestimating, or are we that dumb that we're letting them to, rape us, it seems, on our fees, and yet, well, we're having to pay for our homes, and yet they go, oh, well, I guess we underestimated again, so we got to raise them and double them and so forth. It just seems, don't these guys know what they're doing?
Well, here's for what it's worth. The industry takes in about five, and I'm not here trying to justify them.
We understand. We're trying to get some information from a guy that knows.
They take in about $5 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
In premium.
They pay out about 70% of that. So in annually, not counting storms.
Right, okay. And just
that's
in general
just the
claims.
Normal fire claims and liability claims, et cetera.
Okay.
Right. So that leaves, 40%. I'm sorry, 30%. So then on top of that, what you have is you have your administration and your commissions to run the company, and that's another, say, 20%.
Certainly.
In a good year, not with no storms, they have a 10% left over, let's say.
Okay.
That's $500 million.
And they accumulate year, that year after year, as long as there's not any catastrophic loss or a major storm
that's
like
correct.
We're doing now.
Or the CEO takes it home. And we've
right. That's correct. So now let's look at a little history in Florida. Hurricane Andrew in today's dollars, and I'll use today's dollars because we obviously, in Hurricane Andrew times, weren't collecting $5 billion. It was more like probably one.
Uh-huh. Right.
So now Hurricane Andrew hits, and that in today's dollars was at $22 billion storm. That was 1992.
Wow.
Now we come to 2004 and 2005. Those 2 years are $32 billion in Florida. It looks like, we don't know what Wilma will be for sure, but probably that'll be somewhat close. That's what the estimates are.
Right.
Counting the four storms last year, a little bit this year, and then Wilma.
Okay.
Right.
So if you add those two together, you got you know, $54 billion.
A lot of money.
Now, you got, and you take, you know, you got 14 years, they paid out $54 billion in Florida.
$54 billion with a B.
B. $54
billion. Uh-huh.
With a B. And they, let's say that all those years, they you know, the 16 years that we're talking about, that are 14 years, that they made $500 million every year, and they don't always make that much. Let's say they did.
Sure.
So that's $8 billion. Is that right?
You got it.
So there's a shortfall.
And they paid out 54. So who wants to be in that business?
Mm. Well, you know, as a again, as a realtor, Tom, we're there in Tallahassee, and we're working with the folks, the good folks in Tallahassee that run our state, and we're working with the insurance people. This is a problem of all Floridians, and it's really not a time to point fingers at the insurance companies, at the legislature. At any particular group, we've got a problem here that takes great leadership, and I know you're running for governor. It takes everybody to come to the table and provide some good solutions for Florida and maybe beyond Florida. Some people are saying that the risk should be spread beyond Florida. As we know, hurricanes reach into northwestern North Carolina and sometimes beyond as they blow through Atlanta and other places. So is it a federal problem? Do we need to get the Fed involved? What are your thinking on that?
Well, here's what we have to look at. Number one, back after Hurricane Andrew in 1993, I called for a national catastrophic fund. We got a fund done in Florida. Thank goodness we've had it, because that's really been the backup for the insurance industry in Florida and homeowners.
Which started as the JUA, is that correct?
Well, no, this is the Florida Hurricane Catastrophic Fund.
Okay.
Then we got that started, and that basically is a reinsurance mechanism for all companies, and we require them to pay into it.
Okay.
And that covers losses when they exceed $4.5 billion total. So when we have a storm that's $4.5 billion, the companies can start getting money from that cat fund, depending on their percentage of the $4.5 billion.
Okay.
And they get 90% of the losses up to $15 billion. And that's the industry total, $15 billion.
Okay.
And after $15 billion, they have to go back to their reinsurance that they would buy in the worldwide reinsurance market.
Okay.
And many of them buy reinsurance below that, you know, of that, say, deductible of $4.5 billion.
Okay.
At a pretty high cost, I might add. So those are the – so that's what we have in the cat fund, and that's one of the reasons we have any companies writing business at all, because they do have that backup, and it's – very reasonable cost compared to the worldwide market.
Okay.
I would like to see us have a backup up for that of a national catastrophic fund, and we talked about it back in 1993, been talking about it ever since. Governor Bush is on board now talking about it. It's one of those things that all of us that come from areas where you have catastrophes,
sure.
And you see, I think the whole country ought to go for it, because you have floods in the Midwest, you have out in
California's
California,
got problems,
sure. Earthquakes. And, of course, the whole Gulf Coast, you have
New Orleans and Texas.
We found out they can all get hit with those.
New Orleans and Texas.
So that's step one. I think we need that national catastrophic fund. I think we ought to have the insurance companies. We're the only nation in the world that taxes catastrophic reserves for insurance companies.
Hmm. You know, Tom,
and so we're paying for that tax that they're taking from the insurance companies. So they have less money in their catastrophic reserve.
It sounds like the average person, Tom, has an idea that they're paying a lot of premium to their local insurance man. And I know quite a few different insurance people. In fact, we have a couple people joining us after you. They'll be talking about some different issues of insurance. We have found that the local insurance person is not the guy, you know, that's taking all their money and getting rich with it. It is going to the companies. The companies, as you explained, have some huge liabilities, financial liabilities. And it's easy to say they took in big profits, but when the catastrophe comes, it's huge dollars to pay out. It's complicated.
What really bothers me is,
yes,
that all of these companies now are Florida company only. And so what happens is the Florida company doesn't have enough money coming in,
right,
and ends up losing money when the national company that is everywhere else but Florida is making billions. And see, what they've done is they've isolated us in Florida. And that was allowed to happen in 1996, and they isolated us in Florida, so that we're supposed to carry the whole thing ourselves and not spread the risk across the country. And that's part of the major problem that we have.
Are you saying the big insurance carriers just have companies that are just situated in Florida and Florida-only companies so they don't carry or spread their risk across the nation?
That's exactly what
I'm saying. It's like State Farm, State Farm. There's State Farm, then there's State Farm Florida.
State Farm of Florida, there's Allstate, and there's Allstate Floridian.
Yeah.
And every one of the major companies does not write homeowners in Florida from their national company, only from their Florida company.
So,
when they go for rate increases, they only use Florida data.
That's
and they're allowed to do that because we have. You know, I will tell you, after Hurricane Andrew, when I was the insurance commissioner, they came to me and wanted to do it. I would not let them.
Yeah, well, let me get Bill O'Reilly on this. Let's get Bill O'Reilly on this. He'll stir up the nation. Tom, we thank you so much for joining us this morning. We've got a show. We've got time going and so forth. And listen, we're going to be watching you and seeing how you can do with our state and help us get on track here in the state of Florida. We appreciate.
Well, we're going to come up with a plan and we're going to make sure we still have insurance available. I'd like to say it was going to be real affordable. That's going to be a challenge as well as the availability.
Certainly.
But we're going to work on a plan. In fact, Governor Bush and I spent a couple hours yesterday talking about it. We're going to have something for people. We're going to make sure that we still have coverage because without it, you can't buy and sell real estate. You know, our whole economy would be in a terrible, terrible mess.
I'd like to also personally thank you. I've seen a lot of hard work from the FEMA people. I've been up and down the state in the last 2 weeks, and I've seen a lot of trucks and a lot of mobilization. Certainly, if someone's thirsty or if they don't have food, they may not feel the same way. But I've seen a tremendous effort taking place, and I'd like to thank you and the governor and all those people involved for all the great effort that they've helped to help all these thousands of people.
Two quick things.
Sure,
one,
Tom.
If anybody has an insurance question or problem, call us at 1-800-22-STORM.
1-800-22-STORM if you've got a question.
1-800-22-STORM. Keep that number for people. And also, if they're up in Broward County, they can go to 6901 West Sunrise Boulevard, where we have 7 days a week. Insurance companies are there, as well as our people from the Department of Financial Services to help them with insurance problems in person. And they can also go out in Hialeah there to the Amelia Earhart Park at 401 East 65th Street there at the intersection of 122nd. And they can get there. We have a little insurance village is what I call them at these places. They can go there and get some personal help also.
Great, and we'll have this information if someone wants to give us a call at the real estate office. We'll get that information back to you if you didn't have a pen ready. Tom, again, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been very informative, and hopefully we've helped our residents here in South Florida.
I hope so, too. Thank
have
you
a great
much,
day.
Guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you, guys.
It. Okay, bye now.
Hey, this is Jim Balistrieri. We've just been on the phone for the first 20 minutes of the show with the chief financial officer of the state of Florida, Mr. Tom Gallagher, and candidate for governor. Also served as the insurance commissioner, past insurance commissioner here in the state of Florida, and visiting with our residents here. We've got two more guests in our next segment coming on. We have Enrique Ruiz. Enrique is the president, CFO of E&L Insurance Services, an independent agent based in Miami, also the president of the Latin American Association of Insurance Agents. And we also have Susan Straker on the phone with us this morning, president and CEO of Coral Insurance, based in Hollywood, Florida. Her company only writes homeowners insurance in seven counties here in South Florida. Good morning, Enrique. Are you with us?
I am. Good morning to you.
And we're glad to have you on the show. We just heard from Tom Gallagher. Give us sort of your local perspective. We sort of heard it from the state level. What's happening here in South Florida? How can you help our listeners deal with their insurance claims?
Well, our concern here in South Florida is the high deductibles are just making it very difficult for a lot of the homeowners to have any of their claims or most of the damage that they suffer covered by their policies. And so we're seeing a lot of insurers who are having to, pay out of pocket to fix the damage that they incur from the last few storms.
Mm-hmm. Are these the folks that are in the citizens group where we have 2%, maybe as high as 5% deductibles, or are you talking about your traditional policyholders?
Yeah, no, these are homeowners who, in efforts to reduce the cost of insurance, as you know, insurance rates have gone up considerably over the last couple of years. they're looking at ways to reduce their premiums, and one of the things that they've done in many cases is increase their deductibles. And so we're seeing people who, in large part, are insured with Citizens having to come up with a lot of out-of-pocket to pay for the damages that they've incurred over the last couple of storms.
And what does a typical deductible look like? Is it $10,000? Is it $5,000?
Well, as you know, they range anywhere between 2 and 10%. Most of them are around the 2% mark, so they go anywhere from, you know, 4,000 and up.
So it's 2% of the insured value, is that the idea?
Of the dwelling value, right.
Right, so you've got a $200,000 home, you've got a 4,000 at 2%, you've got a $4,000 deductible.
That's correct.
Now, that's not the market value, but that would be what you insured the home for.
That's just the cost of the replacement value of the dwelling.
Okay.
Any solutions for people? Any suggestions? Should they set aside a little self-insurance fund themselves? Is that even practical? Do people do that?
Well, I think it definitely is, you know, because basically what you're doing is you're self-insuring for that portion of the loss.
Right.
And so it would be wise to set some funds aside so that when you do get hit by a storm, you have funds available to go ahead and make the repairs to put your home back in good shape.
I found that last year when a bunch of the storms hit the Orlando area, my understanding was that the insurance companies wanted to pay out, let's say, on the roof replacements in stages to the roofers. But the roofers were having some possible problems saying, well, I can't put this stage of the roof on without getting funds. And the insurance going, well, we have to have the thing on before we pay the asset. And the roofers couldn't keep putting out of their pocket, so they wanted the money from the homeowner.
Right.
And then the homeowner's going, I don't have the money. It was an unfortunate circle, I understand, taking place.
Enrique, let me ask you a question. A lot of our listeners, clients, buyers, and sellers are concerned. Are they able to get homeowner's insurance now? Many of our people are under contract to purchase and close homes. What is the availability in the market? Susan, are you on the line with us?
I'm right here. Thank you.
Excellent. I'll direct this to Enrique, and then you can come on in and share some thoughts, Susan. What is the availability of insurance today?
Well, that's one of the challenges that we've been facing in Florida for many years, and that is the lack of availability of carriers for our homeowners, especially in the older homes. We're finding that there are very, very few carriers available to insure homes that were built in the 1940s, 1950s.
Uh-huh.
And so Citizens, which was created to be an insurance of last resort, in many cases has become the first option for a lot of the insureds.
That's right.
And
is Citizens writing today? I mean, if I'm going to close on a home on Monday or, let's say, Friday of next week, and I do not have insurance in place, but I do need it for the lender and such, can I come to you and buy this insurance through Citizens or not?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are open, and we can bind as of right now without any problems.
Okay, so we are binding. Susan, what do you see as availability and for homeowners and for new buyers in the marketplace today?
Well, at Coral, we opened up last Monday. We realized that the market would be suffering, that the realty engine is one of the big economic factors here, so we wanted to get back and underwriting business as quickly as possible.
Uh-huh.
In order to do that, we modified our underwriting guidelines slightly so that we were selecting the category of business that we know is successful for us, because we too are in claims and settlement mode, as most of the market is at this time.
And when you say you modified your underwriting guidelines, tell us more about that. What do you mean? What did you actually modify?
Well, when we first came into the market, we announced that we were targeting newer owner-occupied homes,
right.
And that is basically our bread and butter business. Those are the areas in that category. Our prices are very competitive, and we feel that that represents a good category of business for us to write.
Okay.
But we realize that there are a lot of homes that were built in the 80s and the 70s, even back to the 50s. In fact, I live in a home myself that was built in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
Many of those homes are very, very solid. Those are concrete block. They've weathered many, many storms. And if these homes are updated, if they have been, we call the ones that go back older than 30 years old, we called our golden oldies, if they've been updated with new plumbing and electricity, and we're very happy to write those homes that are in excellent condition.
Okay, great. So would you say we've got some segments, and what segments of the marketplace you think are not being covered or difficult for homeowners getting insurance? Is there any particular segment of the marketplace or style of home or age of home?
Well, I think that the older homes that have not been upgraded, that have not been brought up to current code, obviously are going to suffer because none of the companies are willing to take on that risk.
So then how does the seller sell that home, or how does a buyer buy it if they can't insure it? And it's almost like putting a big red sticker on the front of the house and going, you know, stay away from this one.
Well, a lot of these houses, you gentlemen are in the real estate market, and you know that there's a big appetite for home ownership in South Florida.
Certainly.
A lot of people are buying these older homes, and they're totally upgrading them. They're putting in impact windows. They're upgrading all the electricity and plumbing. And those are virtually new homes because under code now you can't do those renovations without having a multiple inspections.
Mm, interesting.
Yes.
Enrique, how about underinsurance? Are people underinsuring their homes and not getting enough coverage? Is that a problem that we see today?
Yes, it's a huge problem. Actually, most reports will tell you that 2 out of 3 homeowners are underinsured. And we as agents have to play a very, very active role in educating our consumers and making sure they understand that when they insure their home, we're actually, the companies are assuming the risk of rebuilding that home in today's dollars. And so it's very important that the value that we assign or the dwelling value that we insure the home for reflects the cost of rebuilding that home today.
So we need to tell our listeners if you're not speaking to your insurance agent or if your agent's not contacting you, we want to strongly recommend that you contact your agent and review your coverage so you don't get caught short, particularly in light of the fact that the cost of building has skyrocketed. Materials have jumped literally through the roof, it seems like. So be very prudent now if you haven't suffered or even if you have suffered a tremendous loss, and we hope you haven't, but review these numbers with your agents over the next weeks and months and make sure that you have the proper coverage.
Now, Susan.
Absolutely. Especially after a lot of homeowners have done any renovations or maybe done extensions to their homes, it's important that they talk to their agents and make them aware of those changes so that their policies reflect the true cost of replacing their dwelling.
Susan, this is Joe, and we were talking a couple weeks ago about homeowners insurance, and I personally had a homeowners insurance review and would be receiving actually quite a, in my opinion, a substantial reduction of what I'm already paying a huge premium. But what I'm saying is that my home, we did a lot of renovations to 4 years ago and recognized that we apparently had done things that reduced the insurance cost because of the upgrades. Would you know what those items are and maybe explain a few of them to our listeners?
Sure, I'd be happy to. First, I'd like to tie into what Enrique said. I'm 100% behind what he said about being sure that the policyholder is insured to the value of their home. There's an old expression called penny wise and pound foolish, and probably some homeowners thinking that they can save a little on their premium may underdeclare their values. But then when they get in a situation where they have a loss and they are looking for a maximum amount back from the insurance company, if they're underinsured, they're going to find themselves very sorry that they took this path. But to get back to the solutions that you were asking about, there are a number of things that the policyholder can do to make sure that they are doing everything they can to self-insure. One of the things is they can look at their homes and see what condition they're in and constantly be looking at things like shutters. If they don't have shutters, that's a great thing to get. Or if they change their windows and buy the impact glass.
And that would reduce their policy, is that correct?
That gives them additional credits, that's
right.
Correct. Some of the older homes do not have a roof that has bolts or anchors, and that's a very important thing that we take into consideration.
You're talking about the straps that from...
That's right. Uh-huh. We call them straps, they're clips, there are various terms for it.
Right.
But, for example, at Coral, for all of the homes that are older than 10 years old, we inspect those homes, and that's one of the things that we look for. And we pay for the inspection. The policyholder does not, but we feel that we as underwriters need that information to be able to price the policy correctly. So a homeowner who isn't sure about what kind of roof they have or how it's protected they can take advantage of the lull between hurricane season, have their roof inspected, and they will know then what they have.
So we're not talking just the roof structure, but we're talking about the trusses and so forth to
That's
see
right.
how they're attached to the home.
Exactly.
And I know that in the real estate business, we've seen a lot of changes in the built South Florida building codes and so
mm-hmm.
forth. A lot of that came from Hurricane Andrew and,
yes.
and improving the product materials and the way they're worked
mm-hmm.
And built connected to the house and so forth. That's why so many of the homes, say the new homes that have been built, are built to that South Florida code. It was interesting when... I believe it was two years ago, when the last storms hit the West Coast, that a lot of, let's say, handyman contractors were over there in Tampa and so forth repairing homes, didn't come close to what the new codes, they were building it the old way and
uh-huh.
weren't building it to today's codes.
Right.
And a lot of that stuff had to be torn out and rebuilt.
Again, penny wise and pound foolish.
Let's change gears. We've been talking about homeowners. We've mm-hmm. been talking specifically about you know, damage to homes and that sort of thing. How about loss of business and business coverage? Changing gears here. Many businesses have been out of business and are still out of business. And when you lose 1 month, 2 months worth of revenue, what can a business owner do to insure for lost revenue or his business or her business shut down?
Is this a question for me?
Either. You go ahead, Susan.
Well, actually, Coral is a homeowner's company, and we do not do commercial insurance.
Okay.
I have in the former life been involved in that, but currently, no, we don't. We only write the coverage that's called HO3. So maybe Enrique could answer that question.
Yeah, we also focus on personal lines mainly, but we do some BOPs, you know, the business owner policies, where they do insure for business interruption.
Are you familiar with that topic, Enrique? Are you familiar with business interruption?
Yeah, somewhat familiar. We do write a little bit of commercial. And this is something that most business owners should be looking for whenever they buy a policy for their small business. Business interruption will be included in most of the small business owner policies, what we know as BOPs.
Uh-huh.
And so they'd be able to maybe... mitigate their losses due to a storm where they've not been able to service their customers or they've not been able to operate as a result.
Well, we need to wrap up this segment, and I'd like to ask each one of you if you would have any last quick advice. Keep it brief, though, and that maybe your listeners would need to tell you what, let's take a break, and we'll come back. I'd like you guys to think about what advice you might want to give to our customers and listeners today. Thank you. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is Joe Balistrieri. We have on the line with us Enrique Ruiz and Susan Straker. We've been talking about insurance. Hopefully we haven't put you to sleep with these subjects, or back to sleep, let's say. But they are important subjects. We know they're timely in today's situation and so forth. Susan, I asked a question before the break, but I'd like to change it if I could for just a minute.
Sure.
We know you're very familiar with the Citizens Insurance and using it as insurance of last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have some pros and cons comments about Citizens and the opportunities that our community has and what they should or shouldn't do or could or couldn't do?
Well, actually, we are one of the alternatives to Citizens, and
okay.
this is one of the reasons that Coral came into the market. Citizens serves a very real need, and there are other states besides Florida that have markets of last resort for their insurance. But my dealings with the department with the Tallahassee have been very good in recent years. We've discovered that they've made a lot of progress in terms of learning about how insurance works. The people in Tallahassee were not insurance people initially. They were forced into this situation, and the situation is very critical for them because as their policies grow, they have a very large potential. So I would hope that more people would come into the market. That doesn't sound very logical, maybe.
You mean more companies?
That's right, companies
okay.
like Coral. Mr. Gallagher noted when earlier, he says, who wants to be in that business? Well,
right.
in a sense, he's right. But the rates in Florida have evolved to a level now where I believe that insurance companies, small ones like our own, can make business in this, can make a reasonable living in this market. But he very well explained the nuts and bolts of how it works.
Right.
So... We consider ourselves sort of like a small regional airline compared to a large domestic airline.
Interesting. Any thoughts on that, Enrique?
Well, I've always felt incredibly hopeful, you know, to see companies like Coral coming to the market. They're doing a wonderful job. Their underwriting is top-notch, and their customer service is really good. So I applaud their efforts, and like Susan, I wish that there were more carriers like theirs.
And you would be in the same category. Is that right, Enrique, being an independent agent?
Yes, we are always looking for options for our insureds, and that's been tough to find over the last few years as more and more companies leave the market. But companies like Coral are filling a huge gap, and they're doing a great job at giving our customers additional options.
You know, it seems a little bit like our own real estate office. We have national brands and so forth, and we have a company like Balestre Realty who's right here in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
In touch with the neighborhood, and we know what it takes to meet the needs of our immediate marketplace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How about the size of the Citizens? Is it the largest insurance pool now in the state of Florida or not?
I believe it's the second largest.
Second largest.
Yeah, behind State Farm.
And it was never the intention, I don't think. I think it was supposed to be the last resort, and now it's the second biggest player in the state of Florida.
That is right.
Is that a concern?
It is a concern. And a lot of companies are trying to take advantage of the initiatives given by Citizens to help them offload some of the liability that they have.
Interesting.
So I can cut my exposure by saying I'm going to take a 10% reduction and let Citizens just pick it up, because it's not like I'm running out of the state. They got someone else to go to. Is that what they're sort of doing?
Well, I was thinking, when I made that comment, I was thinking of the takeout companies that have taken advantage of the financial advantages of assisting Citizens in reducing its liability.
Oh, I see, and buying some of those policies
out
of there. Very
That's
good.
Right.
And I know the legislator is working on some ideas, and I was talking to Mr. Gallagher. The realtor community is actively engaged in this process, because this is a Florida opportunity, if you will. It affects every resident in the state of Florida. And as a professional realtor, we're interested in this, and we're interested in making sure, one, that insurance is available to our residents in Florida, and two, that they can buy it at some reasonable rate, that it's affordable for them. So these are big issues. How about building codes? Have they impacted us, Susan, or the change in building codes? Or I understand you're very knowledgeable in that arena.
I wish I were. I'm not the person that can give you every exact date of every code, but Andrew was really the turning point for the state of Florida. I think that people had gotten very complacent with building codes. There were codes that existed prior to 1992, but I don't think that the enforcement was as strong as it is now.
You mean like that lean-to covered patio that I put out my backyard?
Right.
You know,
yes,
on a Saturday morning, just build.
Patio too,
yeah, just put that. Now, of course, the hurricane blew it away.
Oh no!
Yeah, that's the point. Is the connecting to the homes and the way those things are built, they need to have proper tie downs and structure, that they're just not lean tos any longer.
Have you seen that the damage to the newer properties that are built to the new code after Andrew have sustained less damage?
Yes, we have. The results are very preliminary, of course, because we're only 2 weeks from Wilma. But from the claims that we've seen coming in, those from the homes that were built after 1994 or in Palm Beach County after 1997 have been substantially less serious in nature.
Excellent. Well, my home was built in 62 with the flat tile roof, and I sustained no damage whatsoever, thank God. And
very good.
And many of our neighbors that have homes of the same vintage, all of our roof tiles are on the home, and so a minimal damage, if you will, to that vintage home.
I think it has to do a little bit with the concept of quality construction. And when you have people that are doing your renovations, if you did sustained damage, you want to make sure that they're competent repair people. It's easy to put a coat of paint on and put a little, you know, stucco here and there.
Exactly.
The next hurricane comes along, it's all going to get blown off. So you want to see that the repair is done correctly. And then also look to see that you might upgrade your current condition for a few dollars more, so you can then take advantage of your insurance discounts. We'd like to thank you both for joining us today, Enrique and Susan. If anyone wants more information and would like to get in touch with these fine folks, you can reach us at Balestre Realty, and we'll give you their number. And that number at the real estate office is 954-545-1616. We'd be happy to pass you on to these folks. So that's 954-545-1616. 1616. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great and safe week.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back. Thank you.
Good morning. It's Jim Balestre, and welcome back to the show. We've been talking about insurance. We've been speaking with the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Tom Gallagher, here in the state of Florida. And we know that our fellow residents are concerned. They've been shaken a little bit, but we want to reassure them that things are good here in South Florida. The real estate market is stable. We're selling homes. We're closing properties. We're back to work. We're getting them financed. Oh, sure, there's a few little nuances that we're dealing with, a few little challenges that we didn't have before the storm. But I want to assure our listeners that things are good. We do need to use a little more patience than we had before the storm, but we're getting properties sold and we're getting them closed. So good news, folks. Don't be troubled by this storm. We'll get through it together, and we'll all say Wilma who, hopefully, before too long. We want to tell you about some exciting properties that we've got for sale at Balistrieri Realty, and we have on the line with us Linda Strickland. Linda, are you with us from our Pompano Beach Regional Sales Center? Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
What do you have good to tell our listeners this morning?
Well, this morning I'm going to tell you about a condominium that I have over in the Belmont. The Belmont is located just west of Rock Island Road on McNabb.
Right.
It is close to the southern end of Coral Springs for people who may not be familiar, you know, with that area. Anyway, it's a beautiful gated community of about 300 condominiums. It's a ground floor unit that overlooks the lake.
Wow.
It has a large eat-in kitchen with ceramic tile, and it was built in 2002, so all the appliances, the air conditioning, and everything is pretty much, you know, nearly new. Anyway, it has a very large master bedroom with a sitting area and walk-in closets. The master bath has a shower and a large Roman tub.
So, Linda, this is Joe. Good morning. How many square feet in the apartment?
The square footage is just under 1,400. It's like 1,353, I believe.
And, very generous. Very
bedrooms,
generous.
How many bedrooms and how many baths?
It's three bedrooms and two baths. And it has some really nice, it has a computer area, little extra things that, you know, the newer developments are adding as special features.
And here's a tough question. I didn't prep you on this one. Apparently, it's in great condition and ready to be moved into.
It is actually vacant and ready to go.
Excellent.
So there you go. So
and what's the price?
Yes.
The price is $249,249
and ready to go. So if you'd like some more information, like to see this beautiful property, you need to contact Linda Strickland. You can do it by leaving us word at 954-545-1616. Linda, thanks for joining us and telling us about this great property at the Belmont in North Lauderdale.
All right, we have on the phone also another associate with us here from the Lighthouse Point Regional Sales Center, Tony Gregory. Tony, tell us about your property. What you got out there?
6,600 square foot home on Lake Santa Barbara with five bedrooms and five baths.
Wow.
It's been totally renovated. It has 100 feet on the lake with four docks, which is never heard of before, a 58-foot second-floor balcony.
Wow.
And this home is gorgeous.
Now, Tom, when you say the lake, what lake? Are you up in the middle of the state? Where are we here?
We're on Lake Santa Barbara. Maybe you didn't hear me. That's in Pompano Beach.
Right between Pompano and Lauderdale, right? Right.
That's right. It's only about 15 minutes to the Hillsborough Inlet. Short ride up the intercoastal, and you're out in the ocean.
It looks right at the intercoastal waterway. Is that right, Tony?
That's right, Jim. It's six houses in from the intercoastal, and the view is a panoramic view of not only Lake Santa Barbara and the intercoastal, but part of Terramar Island and that body of water.
I think that's called Lettuce Lake right across there. So we've got Lake.
You're correct.
And this home is available now, Tony. Is that right?
It is, Jim, and we have it advertised at the boat show. We're hoping to attract a number of yachters that need a place to park their boat.
So you got four docks right on Lake Santa Barbara. And the price, Tony?
$3.6 million, Jim.
$3.6 million. And you can see Balistrieri Realty at the boat show. What's our booth number there? Do we know?
I think it's 57, but don't hold me to it.
5036. They moved us. They had a little bit of roof problem there at the show, so
well,
they moved some boots around.
I'm sure glad you guys are on top of it.
5036. The other thing I want to mention, Tony mentions view of the Intracoastal. It's five houses off, but the Intracoastal there and Lake Santa Barbara is low wake, so you can put a boat right there in the water. It's a great property. Tony, thanks for joining us this morning. We want to get on to another property. Tell our listeners about Carol Emond. Carol, are you on the line with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Very well. How are you?
Great. You got two parcels to tell us about in
Fort Pierce.
In Fort Pierce.
Have I got properties for you.
Excellent. Please tell us about it.
The first parcel is 5.3-acre out parcel. It's in Taylor Creek, which is in Fort Pierce. It's vacant land, great for mixed use.
So we're talking about a commercial piece?
Yes, it is.
Commercial property. It's an out parcel. Okay. So you're not going to build your house on this one?
No, it's great for mixed use. You can do residential. You can go up to 80 units.
Okay. And what was the size of the parcel?
It's 5.3 acres.
Wow, big parcel. And the price on that, Carol?
That is $2.8.
$2.8 million. And a great opportunity for our listeners in Fort Pierce. Is there anything else you wanted to share with us this morning?
Absolutely. I also have a 3.5-acre parcel.
Right.
This is on the south end of Fort Pierce. It is vacant land, but it is cleared. It has water, electricity, and sewer. You can build up to 65 feet height. You can build condos. You can do shopping. You can do a little bit of anything.
Well, we want to bring our listeners a mix. You see, we've got condominium. We've got a home with Tony. Carol's got some commercial land. Let our listeners know that Balustrade Realty can meet all of your real estate needs. And Carol is familiar with other properties here in Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton, and so forth, so she just doesn't know the Fort Pierce marketplace. And we'd like to invite you to get a hold of Carol or any of our people. You can reach Carol through our phone number at 954-545-1616. Carol, before I jump on to the next property, any last comment on these parcels?
Yes, this is right next to or adjacent to the Public Shopping Center, which is also right across the entrance to the North Hutchison Causeway Bridge.
So wow. Great location.
It's a great
Very
location,
convenient location,
great for investors, 1031, or anybody who's looking to get into the development end of real estate.
Excellent. Listen, if you need an expert in commercial real estate, you've got to call Carol Emond at Balustrade Realty, and you can reach Carol by leaving us word at area code 954-545-1616. Carol, thanks for sharing with us this morning.
Good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jim.
And have a great day, dear.
Thank you. You too.
We've got someone else on the line, a very special lady with Balustrade Realty, Pat Norman. Pat, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Tell us some good news. What do you have available for our listeners?
I have a wonderful two-bedroom, two-bath unit and a condo at Boca Terrace. It's close to everything, just west of I-95, east of Military Road, close to shopping, across the street from Sugar Sand Park.
Oh, yes. Don't say any more. I want it, Pat. Don't tell them anymore.
It's in move-in condition. It's listed at $239,000. That price includes furnishings.
Wow, great. Pat.
It's a ground floor unit. It has a screen patio, looks out on a wonderful, enchanting view of a lake. The lake has a fountain in it. There are walking bridges in the distance.
Pat, let me ask you, is it available now? What kind of closing time available?
It's absolutely available, as I said, in move-in condition with
great.
Furniture, if you
with
like.
Furniture.
Wow, that's Pat,
super.
That's exciting. And that's at Boca Terrace, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, it is. It's 1,018 square feet.
And the price is $239.
$239.
A beautiful two-bedroom, two-bath furnished condominium.
If you want to reach Pat Norman, one of our experts at Balustrade Realty, and want more information, you want to see this property, call us and leave us word. We'll get you in touch with Pat at 954-545-1616. Pat, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
We have our last plug today. Here is Eleanor Rabin. Eleanor is joining us she's called in and is ready to tell us about another property.
Eleanor, good morning.
How are you? Good morning.
Tell her.
I wanted to tell you about a listing that I have in Boca Marina on Federal Highway.
Right, that's in the North Boca.
And it's just in time for the boat show. This is a gorgeous home, a four-bedroom, four-bath. It has 4,145 square feet. It has 20-foot high ceilings.
Wow. Beautiful
home. It was
home.
Built in 1997, according to the latest hurricane codes, which is also very timely. And it has a 50-foot dock, boat.
Water frontage. Water frontage of 50 feet. Right, right. Now, Boca Marina is a homeowners association community?
Yes, there is a homeowners association, a very nice association. It's a very private little community in there, and they take very good care of it.
It's sort of like extremely large townhomes, in a sense. I mean, I don't want to...
Not really.
They're homes, but the community is sort of set up where each home is on the water. And you've got your maintenance taken care of by the community, and so you can come and go a little freer and not have that kind of maintenance situation. What's the price on this beautiful residence?
This price is $2,050,000.
Wow, sounds like a nice property, Eleanor.
It is. Two-story with a master bedroom downstairs. So.
Four bedrooms, four bath, and a master on the first floor. Built in 1997, $2,050,000. Eleanor, thank you so much for calling in today.
Before we let her go, Eleanor, tell us, how many years have you served the real estate community?
Oh, boy. I've been in the real estate business for about 35 years now.
And you're just getting started. Another expert at Balustrade Realty knows South Florida from Miami through Palm Beach County, a real expert and a great person to reach. More information on this property to reach Eleanor Rabin, call us at 954-545-1616. Eleanor, thanks for joining us and telling us about this great property this morning.
And folks,
thanks
listen,
for your wonderful show.
Thank you, dear. We've also want to, these are only four properties, five properties we told you about. We've got a real estate magazine that you can get a free copy of. We've brand new November issue. It was 80 pages of beautiful properties in here in South Florida. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just give us a call again at the 954-545-1616 and learn more about real estate opportunities we have right here in South Florida.
Joe, before we wrap up, I just want to tell our listeners this morning and friends that that are out there, folks, no need to panic in this real estate market. Be very, very careful about when you sell your home, that you make sure that you get the very absolute most money for that, and you do that by hiring an expert, getting somebody that understands your value, understands the marketing of your property, understands your need, and lets you know that there's no urgency right now, that the market is solid. So good things are happening here in South Florida. We've got beautiful properties available. We've got buyers that we're bringing to the closing table. So things are good. We're getting them insured, and we're getting them closed.
And we're going to be here next week, and we want you to know, too, don't be suckered in with some fast-talking guy out there while these situations taking place. Call professionals. Have a great week. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Balustrade Real Estate Hour. To find a South Florida office near you, call 954-545-1616. That's 954-545-1616. Choose the right sign, the Balustrade sign, and put the resources of Balustrade Realty to work for you.